Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, I'm going to start reading on verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as he had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word that you left us to guide us and lead us in this life, that no man might deceive us. I pray, my Father, that you would be magnified this morning and exalted and glorified. We pray, my Father, that you would speak to every heart that's here. You will open up their eyes to see and their ears to hear and understand. Lord, I pray for your word to go out, that you would accomplish the work that you would want it to do. We pray, my Father, that you'd give me that ability to preach and to teach. And I pray, Father, that you would receive all the honor and glory. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, this story here in chapter 9 of Acts is the story and conversion of the Apostle Paul. He also talks about his conversion in Acts 22, and a lot of the things that might be blank in chapter 9, he fills in the blank in chapter 22. He tells you a lot of other things, and I'm going to be referring to both of them to make a complete picture. But what it is this is the story of the Apostle Paul, how he got saved, and I want you to understand something. He got saved just like you and I. The Lord definitely made a tremendous miracle. He saved him. He chose him. And but it also shows that he had to come to some conclusions on himself. He had to first of all realize that the one who was talking to him was God Almighty. When he said, Lord, who art thou? He says, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. So he had to understand those things. Then he went to that house on the street called Straight. And he was there for 3 days. I would suspect possibly to reminisce and to think and to repent of his sins. This man was full of hatred. He was full of wrath. He had been doing tremendous damage to the church. The devil had been using him in a mighty way. He would go into the synagogue, and anybody who would call upon the name of the Lord, he would make him blaspheme. Can you imagine the scene? What he might have been doing to make people blaspheme in the church. He would go into their homes. There's no such thing as you don't have a search warrant. They would just go in and beat you up and take you out and put you in jail, man or woman, until you would be killed. This guy was a terror to all the Christians. So you can understand the feeling that Ananias had when he was given that command. But Also, the thing is that he gives his testimony, and he tells exactly what took place on that trip to Damascus. But this morning, I don't want to focus on the Apostle Paul. I want to focus on somebody else, and that's Ananias. You know, the Bible tells us that we are supposed to use every word of God, because, you know, God says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we're going to use the story of Ananias this morning, because I believe it has a lot of lessons for us, for me and you, to learn how we ought to behave as Christians and how we ought to respond to the Lord. We already know the story of Paul. We already know that he was called Saul and how he got converted and how he changed his mind, how the Lord had to, how he saved his soul. He had to do the same thing like everybody else. When Ananias came to him, he tells you that in Acts 22, that he says, "Now, why do you just sit there? Now, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." And that's what he had to do. He had to call upon the name of the Lord. Later on, the Apostle Paul tells you in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, when Ananias came and was complaining to Jesus, he says, this guy goes into the synagogues and he gets on everybody that calls on thy name. You see, because calling on the name of Jesus, when you understand that he is God, that you've repented of your sins, that's when salvation comes. And the Apostle Paul had to do the same thing. Even though he had been chosen, he was a chosen vessel, the Bible says that he also had to repent and he also had to call upon the name of the Lord. Just because God has chosen you, we see also in the Bible that God chose the nation of Israel, and yet you find Jude saying that I'll put you in remembrance, though these people were delivered from Egypt, yet God destroyed all those who believe not. So you need to be very careful of how you interpret the Bible. Paul had gotten saved in a mighty way, tremendous story about how he got saved. But I want you to know something first on Ananias. He has many things in here that I'd like to point out to you. He says on verse 10, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus." He was a disciple. And you know, when you read the book of Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul goes a little further. He said that this man was a devout man. He was a man that that according to the law, the Bible says that he had also a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, meaning in Damascus. Everybody who knew Ananias, they knew this guy was a holy man. They knew this guy was a man of God. They knew he upheld the laws of God, the Ten Commandments, and all the other commandments. This man was a devout man. He was a Christian. He had accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But you know, the point that I want to make it right now is that, have you noticed, reading your Bible, how God over and over calls on all those who are devout? He calls them to do a work. He doesn't call the average guy who doesn't do anything for the Lord. He calls the guy who is busy doing the Lord's work. And the first one that comes to my mind, and there's many, but you find that in the house of Cornelius, when Peter had already preached in Jerusalem, he had opened up, used the key in Jerusalem. Then he went to Samaria. That was exactly what the Lord had said. And then to the uttermost, God chose the house of Cornelius to receive the gospel. And then that was the third key that Peter had to use. But I just want to point out that the man that God selected was not one of those that he was just a lukewarm individual. This guy was hot for the Lord. The Bible says when you read about him, he says that that Cornelius was a devout man. The Bible says that he feared God. He gave alms. He always prayed, him and his family. And he feared God. And also another thing that he says, and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews. In other words, that's saved and lost. All the nation of the Jew. They knew Cornelius. This guy was a Gentile. But it's amazing how God will look to somebody who is trying to do the work, who fears God, who's trying to do that which is good, and the Lord will come in and handpick that individual. We see it also in the book of Acts chapter 16, as the apostle Paul is traveling, he comes up and meets another individual, another Christian, and the Bible says that his name was Timotheus. We call him Timothy. The Bible calls him Timothy. And it also says that he was well reported. In other words, Timothy had the qualifications to be an elder. Timothy was a man of good report. Just like Cornelius, just like Ananias. And when you continue to read, and there's many, I just chose a few just to make my point, but in the epistles of John, in 3 John, John is speaking about a man by the name of Demetrius. And he says, Demetrius has good report of all men and of the truth itself. We also bear record. In other words, why is God always pointing out those that are devout, that are doing the work, and pointing them out and also using them? We see in the scriptures also, when you read the qualifications of an elder, there's many qualifications that you have to pass. But one of them is also that you are hospitable and have a good report of them which are without. In other words, the world needs to see that you're a good man. That you're not out there calling people names and throwing beer bottles in front of their yard. You're not doing things that are wrong or bad. This is what God is looking for. And when I see Ananias, the Bible, when Paul says that this guy was a devout man, one that was well liked by everybody, it's something that I just began to think, and I said, you know, if Ananias had a good report among all, there's several things that just automatically come to mind. If he was like that, and the Bible says he was, I have no doubt, then obviously he was not a lone ranger. Many times Christians get saved and they come to church and they like to just hide somewhere. They like to be the last ones to come in or the first ones to leave. They don't want to talk to nobody. They don't want to shake nobody's hand. They just want to be the lone ranger. That's not how you become friendly. That's not how you gain friends. The Bible is very plain about that. He says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. That's what the Bible says. So what we see here is that Ananias was a man that would go into the church, and whenever he was out or going anywhere, he was a people person. And that's what we're called to be. You see also some of the other things that I see. And that's from my years of experience being a Christian for 28 years. I also see that he didn't belong to any clique. Because so many times people belong to a little clique or they have their group of friends and that's all you hang around with. What good does it do if all you do, you're very friendly, you talk all the time, but it's only your own little group. Everybody else is neglected. That's not the way it should be. When you read the Apostle Paul and you read his writings and you read how he and salutes so-and-so and salutes so-and-so, you read the book of Romans, he names about 35 different Christians. He says, salute so-and-so and salute him who's doing this and he who's doing that, men and women. That means that the Apostle Paul was a very friendly guy. He got along with everybody. He made friends everywhere he went. And over he commands you and tells you, salute the brethren. Right. Over and over. So we see here that Ananias fit the bill that we should all be striving to do. He was a likable guy. And of course, you do tell the truth to people. You're going to offend them, but you don't have to hit them with a sledgehammer. And I'm telling you this from experience. When we got saved, me and my wife, we the Lord opened up our eyes. We realized we had come out of a bad religion. We now understood the truth because it took us 6 months reading the scriptures and checking everything out before we finally left. And when we left, we thought everybody should understand. And when we went to talk and to tell everybody else, we thought everybody would see it just like we did. They didn't. And of course, looking back at how we did it, we were hitting people in the head with a hammer. We were just coming down hard on everybody, but we thought that was the way. All we did was drive them away. But you know something else? As I go down the streets, and I've been on the south, I've been on the west side, south side, and all over the city, witnessing and going door to door. And there's an area in the south side that I haven't been there in quite a while. But when I went through there, many, many times people would confuse me with somebody from another church. And they would tell me, "Are you from that other church that is very similar in name?" I'm not going to mention it. Most of you know it. And it's a shame that I would be trying to defend ourselves, because they would always tell me they're very rude. They told us this, they told us that. Things that should not have been said. And yet, they also carry the same title. They said we're Christians. They carry the Bible. And it's a shame that my doors were closed because somebody went and spoiled it. They went out there and they could care less what they said, how they said it. They were just plain bad. And it's a shame. Even just not too long ago, somebody else brought it up to my attention again. "Are you all from that church?" It shouldn't be that way. Because what I see in the scriptures, the guys who were devout, the ones that God used, they were not bringing a railing accusation. These were the guys that if you're going to instruct somebody, how about instructing them in a meek manner, the way God says? Of course, I learned the hard way. I made many mistakes. I'm telling you from experience. I also didn't like when somebody would talk to me in a bad manner. I was in a false religion. I would just reject them. I would close the door. And that's why when I see what the scripture says, I understand. Because I was in false religion. Nobody likes to be told you're wrong. You have, or your mama's wrong, your grandmother's wrong, everybody has been wrong, and we're the only ones that are right. You will fight. You will reject that kind of testimony. But you see, what we have here is Ananias. He had a good name. And that's what the Bible tells you. A good name is more precious, is better rather, than precious ointment. This is something that God wants you to have, a good testimony. He wants you to be friendly. And to be friendly, you must show yourself friendly. That's what the Bible says. You know, I think of my friend Albert. You all know him. Or most of you know him. He's going out to the other church in the south side. But when I met him many years ago, everybody knew Albert. Everybody would call him. He would always be on the phone. And I started going out to coffee with him or out to eat with him. And he knew all the waitresses. He knew the managers and he knew the owners. Everywhere we went. And if I told him, "Do you know somebody?" "Oh, yeah, I know the guy who owns it. I know the manager." He knew everybody, and everybody came and talked to him. We'd go just for coffee, and the manager and everybody would be sitting there with us. This guy knew everyone. He was so friendly. And then he got saved. And he continued in the same vein. He continued to witness to people. Just like all the friends, he called every single one. Of course, now a lot of people mock him and tell him things because now he's a Christian. He's standing for the Lord. He's telling the truth. But he came out in national news some time ago, you might remember. He had gotten a call for an alligator that was crossing the street on Loop 410. And that was right there by that lake, Timber Lake. They called it Mitchell Lake, but it was actually Timber Lake. And Albert wind up getting out his rope. You know, he's a cowboy. He got his rope out, and he wind up roping the alligator. And as he's pulling him, and the news media is all there, and he came out in national television, he wind up witnessing to somebody that was standing right there. He invited him to come to the Bible study, and the guy came to my Bible study. You know, Albert was bringing all the people, and he filled up my house with people that he knew, including somebody that he met while he was wrestling with an alligator. This is the type of guy that is well-liked. And this is what I look at Ananias. I also notice that he's so much the same. But look at what he says on verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's somewhere else. Ananias. And verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. You know, that's a good answer. I am here, Lord. Have you noticed that in the scriptures, when you read the Bible, that the great men of God, they're always ready to answer the Lord? And they're always ready to say, I am here, Lord. You see Moses, you see Samuel, you see Abraham, I am here, Lord. And but what happens to us when the Lord calls us? You know that He also calls you through His Word. When you read the Bible, the Lord is always calling you and talking to you. He's correcting you. The Spirit of God uses His Word to convict you of sin. And that's why I guess so many Christians, they don't like to read the Bible. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to open their ears to see what God has to say. That's why Jesus says many times, He that has ear, let him hear. Not that you don't have ears, you do have them, but sometimes they're not where they're supposed to be. They're somewhere else. People are many times in La La Land. They're in Never Never Land. They're in everywhere else but where they're supposed to be. You might be even sitting here right now and you haven't even heard a word I've said. But the Bible calls you and He talks to you over and over. How many times those of you who read the Bible have read it and God speaks to you? Many times I will just read the Bible, just grab it anywhere and read, and that's exactly what I needed to hear. And not that I want to, you know, be doing things by chance or, but nevertheless, God speaks to you. I remember when I was in false religion, and I was already contemplating and coming out, and I needed just a little push, and I already knew the truth. I had already been searching and realizing I'm in the wrong place, and I needed to leave, and I remember the exact the time where I was, where I parked my car, and I began to read, and it just so happened that I was in Revelation 18, and then I read where it says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. Man, that tore me apart. I started crying. I knew what those verses were talking about. I knew what religion God was talking about. And when I saw that and I was new in the Lord, I was just a baby Christian. I didn't know much, but that spoke to my heart so clearly. And it wasn't long after that when I had to come out. But you know, the thing is that just the fact that Ananias says, I am here, Lord. This is something that over and over you find the word Lord. When you look it up in your concordance, you will find that thousands of times God is called Lord. In the New Testament, The apostles would call the Lord and say, Lord, and he says, you call me Master and Lord, and you do well, for so I am. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And you see that those who would repent, like for example the thief on the cross, he says, remember me, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So it's very important that you have your ears opened, that you are ready to respond to what the Lord has to say, that you're ready to listen to what he has to tell you and respond the way he did. But look at verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, what Ananias did is natural. It is reasonable. It is something that is understandable for him to complain on, why are you sending me to this man? Lord, this man is killing Christians. And you want me to go and talk to him? His life would be at stake. You and I would complain and say the exact same things. But you know, the thing is that he just gave his complaint. And it's just natural. I look at it as just being normal. He's venting. He's clearing up the cobwebs. He's trying to see more clear. Even though you might not understand, you need to obey what God has to tell you. And over, you have many examples. When the Lord was talking to Moses and telling him to go and confront Pharaoh, remember how many times he complained? Over and over, but Lord, I don't even know how to speak. Lord, he's not going to believe. Lord, what name shall I give him? He got to the point where he just made God mad. And he says, you know what, I'm just going to put your brother Aaron to be the spokesman. And he's not to be that way. You notice that Ananias, he vented his concern, but then he didn't argue no more. God didn't give him examples or excuses or trying to convince him why he needed to go. That was sufficient, and that should be also for you and I. We ought not to just hang around and try to get an answer for everything. My wife has been in about 6 accidents. And Friday, she was leaving school. Somebody ran a stop sign again, and she wound up crashing our truck. And I think it's completely totaled. But when I talked to her, that her first thing was, why me? How come? Why, and every single time, just about, they don't have insurance, no driver's license. And, of course, we already know, so we're fully covered with uninsured motorists and everything else. But we already know. We live in the South Side. But that was her complaint, Of course, I didn't tell her that I had been praying for a new truck. But the thing is that many times we complain, and it's all right. It's okay to question, why me, Lord? But, why did I, have to, have this disease? Why did this tragedy had to come in my life? Why did I lose my job? There's so many things, and it's okay to question. It's understandable. You're going to ask. But after you finish asking, then just give it to the Lord. Amen. I told my wife, I said, all things happen together for good. Amen. Whatever happens, the truck, it was already paid. We spent a lot of money trying to fix it, trying to buy new tires and do all kinds. It's gone. And I really hope that they'll total it, because I really don't want it back. It's really torn to pieces. But that's my other prayer, Lord, give me a new truck. But the thing is, when things like that happen, it's okay, but then you need to go. And that's exactly what Ananias did. He didn't hang around, and he didn't just say, "Well, that's it." He didn't ask questions. He wasn't like Moses. He learned from Moses. Moses continued to ask and to doubt, and that shouldn't be the way we should be. The Bible says that Ananias just went his way. He went and fulfilled what he had been told to do. And you know what I'm thinking about is what kind of soil are you? You know, because the Bible does tell us that the Lord made you out of dust. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And of course, when the parable of the sower, when the sower went out to sow, the seed fell on different types of grounds. And my question to you this morning is, what type of ground are you? What kind of soil is in your heart? How do you receive God's word? It would be tremendous if everybody would receive it like the one who brought much fruit and who brought 30s and 60s and 90s. But I'm afraid that so many of us, and I'm talking to those who are saved, we're just like the one who fell, and there were so many thorns. And the deceitfulness of this world had already choked the word. Oh, there was some root. You are saved. But what are you doing when God commands you to go? When God commands you to do? When God tells you, open up your ears. Let me give you a command. Are you available? Are you ready to hear God's word? Or do you just dismiss it? You know, there's a commercial on television about somebody who they're calling him on the cell phone and he never answers. Sometimes I feel Christians are the same way. We don't answer when God's calling. And this man immediately answered, and you find that all of God's people, they also answer right away. They're ready to answer the call that God has given us. Whatever it is, and you might not understand it, it might be too difficult, and you might think, but why me? How come this? And look at what I'm doing. I'm trying to finish this, Lord. Don't you see I'm going to college? Don't you see I'm just trying to get ahead at work? Don't you see that I need to have my rest when I get home? And we don't listen. God has told you to go. God has told you to do. God has told you to go and deliver messages. And even though it might seem like it's just too bad, it's going to be too hard, we need to pay attention to what God has to say. You know, I've been mostly talking this morning to Christians, those who are saved, those that need to pay more attention to God's command. But if you're here and you're not saved, then that message really wasn't for you. Because it really doesn't matter what you do. If you're not saved, you won't go to heaven. But you know, the Bible is very clear in so many things. One of the things that I have found is in Proverbs 18:21, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you know that God never contradicts himself. When Jesus came in Matthew chapter 12, he said the same thing. He said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You see, everybody that would be getting saved is because they called upon the name of the Lord. That's why from the beginning to the end, you always find the word whosoever. That's why when Moses was preaching, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing or cursing. Therefore, choose life. You know, over and over we have that. God doesn't contradict himself. The Apostle Paul also had to choose life. That's what Ananias told him. He says, Brother Saul, because he called him Brother Saul from the beginning. He wasn't saved yet. But there's nothing wrong with calling somebody brother. And we do it just the brotherhood of policemen. They call themselves brothers. You're in the military. You call yourself brothers. You belong to the firefighters. You call yourself brothers. Nothing wrong with that. He called them brother. But at the same time, he says, now, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. You see, what the Bible says from the beginning, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means that you're going to have to make a decision. Just like the Apostle Paul, he had to recognize that Jesus Christ was actually God. He was persecuted and he thought that maybe he was just some prophet, that he was just some leader of some cult. And then finally he had to realize, you know what, this is God. And when he gave his testimony in Acts 22, he said that Ananias came and told him, the God of our fathers has sent me. The one who showed himself to you. In other words, in one place he's called Jesus, in the other place he's called God the Father. Because he is the same. Jesus Christ is one and the same. And that's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus also said it very plainly. You want to go to heaven, you're going to have to realize that he is God. Because he tells you in another place that if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You have to believe that Jesus is God. And then you have to accept him. You have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you come to him with a repentant heart. You know, the fact that Paul was sent to a street called Straight is not a coincidence. Because you have to have a time where you need to get your life straight. You need to get your act in order. You have to realize that you're a sinner before God. I witness to people just about every day, at work, on the streets, and over and over I talk to people who say, I believe in Jesus. And when I question them, they're not saved. They have no clue why they're saved. They say, well, I'm saved because I'm good. I'm trying my best. You're not good enough. I also thought that I was good. My wife also thought that she was good. Not until we opened up the scriptures and found out how good you have to be. You have to be as good as Jesus. Hello? Yeah. You're not as good as Jesus. In other words, he's the only one with no sin. Jesus, when somebody came and told him, good master, he says, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. Amen. It was Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's good. Amen. He died and paid for all your sins. So if you would just call upon his name, put your faith and trust in him. Amen. What he did for you on the cross, that is salvation. Just knowing and just calling him Lord is not going to get it. Because he tells you in Matthew 7 that many on that day will tell me, but I call you Lord, Lord. And then God says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You see, they called him Lord with only their lips, but their heart was far away. That's what he tells you in Matthew 15. So what I'm telling you this morning is put your faith and trust in Jesus. He is God. He paid for all your sins. And if you would just repent, and I'm talking about a true repentance, in other words, you humble yourself and you call upon his name, he'll save you. He'll give you the free gift, because getting saved is just calling on his name. That's what Ananias was saying. He says, Paul is persecuting those who call on thy name. Why don't you just call and on the name of Jesus while you're sitting down right now? Jesus Christ will save you. And if you don't do it right now, maybe you might need some time, like Paul needed some time. Talk about it with the Lord. Spend some time, talk to him, and repent of your sins. Ask him to save your soul. He will save your soul. We're going to sing now 248, and the altar is open.